my main scripture, not just for this week, for the last 3 weeks as well. Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power. And this is really important. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We have been preparing you for 3 weeks for this morning. This morning is about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This morning is about getting the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning is, if you're here and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's for you. If you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want that infilling, you want a whole new filling again, it's for you. So that means we're all included in this. The first week we looked at who is the person of the Holy Spirit and discovered that he's actually a person, not an it or a force. He is a person. And then last week we looked, what does the Holy Spirit do? And you can look up our website, openarms.ie, and you can have our audio visual and just check them out. But today is about the empowering Holy Spirit. You know, we live in a world that that has changed dramatically, especially over the last 15, 20 years. There was a time when people worked locally, had more time, family, kids playing out in the street. Sometimes when you're twiddling your thumbs, you didn't quite know what you were doing with all the hours of the day. Those days are gone. Now every moment is mapped out, is timed. If you've got kids, you're probably a taxi driver. All right? Anyone's kids, you're just a taxi driver. You may not be getting paid for it, but that's what you are. All right? Because everything is about time, getting to a spot, getting home. So time is of the essence. We also live in a world where there's pressure financially, there's pressure time-wise, there's pressure relationally, there's pressure everywhere. It's just a much more pressurized world that we live in, and that's the reality. And what we got to do is keep going until the Lord takes you home. So there's no way out of this. So we need, more than ever before, we need the empowering Holy Spirit. Because life and the world has a way of wearing you down. All right? It can wear you down. Church can wear you down. All of these things can wear you down. And what we want is, we spoke last week about the rivers of living water that flows out of our life. You have to have something going in before you have something going out. So we need the river. We need the Spirit of God flowing through us constantly, constantly, constantly. And if anything stops that, you end up getting dry. You end up growing weary. And the church that Jesus Christ started has been undergo for 2,000 years. And there are many segments and parts of the church that are quite weary and dry and old and irrelevant. And I think the primary reason for that is that the Spirit of God is not flowing. It's not brain surgery. It's really simple. The more of the Spirit of God that we have, the more enthusiastic, energetic, passionate that we become, and we remain, and we need a constant infilling of the Holy Spirit. So there's two aspects in our lives. And I suppose when I always think of this, I think of the vertical and the horizontal. So I think of the cross. So the first thing is the horizontal part. That's our part. Our part is to maintain our relationship with God. It's to maintain our relationship with Jesus. We want to read his word. We want to spend time with him, talking to him in prayer. And we want to have some element of worship within our lives. And that's the us part. That's the horizontal. But then when the vertical comes in, that's where we need the empowering Holy Spirit. So you could call the horizontal is the natural and the vertical is the supernatural, and where it meets us at the cross. We need the power of the Spirit of God deep within our hearts. We need his power to pray. We need the Spirit of God to show us and tell us what to pray in order that we can bring it back to God with a level of enthusiasm and consistency. We need his revelation to have a passion for his word. So when we're reading his word, we're looking for revelation. We're expecting the living, active, breathing word of God to speak to us and almost hop off the pages. That is by the baptism in the Holy Spirit as well. We also need that the love of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, within our bones, as it were, for reasons to worship him. Because if you've been around church 1, 2, 3 years, without the baptism in the Holy Spirit, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you can get weary very, very quickly. So we cannot do church on our own. You cannot be a Christian on your own in the natural. We have to have the supernatural to maintain and to gain in our lives. We understand that when we came to know Christ, we became regenerate. The Spirit of God came into our hearts. We understand that. Our name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus took our guilt. He took our shame. He forgave us. And we have and began eternal life from that point. But there's more. There's more. And this is the great thing. There is more. And there is always more from God. And some of the more is looking at even the characters within scriptures about what happened when the Spirit of God came upon them. What happened? Ordinary men and ordinary women, and the Spirit of God gets a hold of them. Abraham, who's nearly 100 years of age, and his wife Sarah in her 90s. In the natural, they had a son called Ishmael. But when they stepped into the supernatural, they had the son of promise who became Israel itself, who through the line of Judah came. Jesus came through that line. Why? Because they tapped into the supernatural Spirit of God. Moses, a man who mumbled and fumbled through life, yet he tapped into the supernatural. He took on the great Pharaoh. He parted the Red Sea. And what happened? He brought God's people into that place of freedom. And the reason is because he tapped into the supernatural. We see Joshua, his right-hand man who walked in the desert for 40 years. But when the time came, he parted the Jordan, and with a mighty shout, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Now, I want to tell you, you could have a billion soldiers walking around and shouting, and that would never come down. The walls would never come down. But because of the Spirit of God that was upon him, the walls came tumbling down. We need the supernatural in our lives. We see David, the mighty man after God's own heart, King David, who in the natural killed the lion and the bear, but when filled with the Spirit of God, took on the mighty giant Goliath, right? Walked in the footsteps of God, became a great king, and Jesus came out of his lineage all the way through. Why? Because the supernatural Spirit of God acting in and through his life. Gideon, a man filled with fear, who eventually heard the call of God, filled with the Spirit of God, he took on the great Midianites, and that army was thousands upon thousands upon thousands, and he went into the camp filled with the Spirit of God, only a mere 300 people, and they won the day. Why? Because the supernatural will always bring us victory. The supernatural will always overcome the natural. When the Spirit of God is there, we will always have our victory. And then we have the New Testament. We see Peter, a man who denied Christ three times. A man who walked with Jesus. The man, right, who saw the miraculous, he saw the miracles, and yet he denied him. But he was with 120 people in the upper room, and something happened. And we read the account from the Message version in Acts 2, 1 to 4. It says, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That was including Peter. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through the ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. So this is a supernatural encounter. Yes, you might know Jesus this morning, but we need to have a supernatural encounter. We cannot maintain the church. And these people, Peter and the apostles, were born again. Jesus had already gone to them at the end of Acts. He breathed it upon them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. They became regenerate. So they're regenerate. But then he said, wait for the gift I'm going to send to you. Wait, because I'm going to send you another of the same kind. I'm going to send you the mighty paraclete. I'm going to send you the advocate. I'm going to send you the power of God, the breath of God, the wind of God, who will come and baptize you, not in water, but with his Spirit. And that's the great thing about this. So we're here this morning. We cannot make it on our own. We become weary. We can become tired. You can become a little bitchy, a little judgmental, a little gossipy. All the things that we come, and the reason we do that is because we're acting in the horizontal. You're acting in the natural. And what we need to do is tap into the supernatural, that when you look at people, you see the destiny that God has put within them. You see the miracle workers within them. You see something of God within the person that you're gossiping about and criticizing, and realize that the Spirit of God is causing a miracle in their lives. And we are so blessed and privileged that He would allow us to even participate in His church. That He would allow us to even rub shoulders with different people in this room. I want to tell you, you look at that young Amanda. Look at her stuff that she's doing online. And what is it? This girl has a gift of communication. A young Kildare girl, one of our girls, one of our kids, touching hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do I see in her destiny? I see the Spirit of God in her destiny touching a generation. Or we can criticize. Nya, 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 nya. So, but what is the difference between the natural and the supernatural? Get out of the natural. Get into the supernatural. Make a decision in your mind. I will not criticize. That's just me having a bad day. I will have to get over me. Come on, guys. We have a church filled with multi-generation, not just young people. We've got older people and pensioners. We've got them all filled with the Spirit of God, all filled with purpose, all who are going to change the world and who are world changers. We need to get out of ourselves and see beyond and encourage and inspire and put our arm around them and say, you're going to change the world you live in. Because I'm going to change my world that I live in. I may not change the world, but boy, am I going to change my world. And that's what we're responsible for. And we need the Spirit of God. We need a supernatural Spirit of God upon us. So what happened with Peter? Peter, who denied. Peter got off, filled with the Spirit of God, the wind of God, the fire of God came upon him. He walked into the streets of Jerusalem and he preached such a message. Over 3,000 people came to know Christ. Come on. That's what you call a preacher. But what is the difference? Well, he was in the natural before. He tapped into the supernatural realm. The Spirit of God came upon him and he preached a message under such unction and anointing of the Spirit of God that chains were broken on people. Their eyes were opened. They could hear the gospel for the first time ever. And they came to know Jesus. And that's how he lived the rest of his life. That's the life I want to live. And this morning, that's the life God wants you to live this morning. That's what he has for you. And the great news this morning, the great news is that when we read the Old Testament, we read that the Spirit of God came upon particular people for a particular purpose for a particular period of time. But in the New Testament, this has all changed. Because Jesus returned and sent his Holy Spirit, everything has changed. Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, from the time Christ ascended into heaven, that was the beginning of the last days. When is it going to all end? We don't know. And if anybody tells you to do, thank you for sharing that. Right? It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So who is the baptism in the Holy Spirit for? It's for all. It's for everyone. It's for young and old, male and female. It's for kings and servants alike. There are no barriers when it comes to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is here right now, and everybody qualifies. It is a free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot buy it. You just freely he gives, and freely we receive. So what are some of the benefits of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And I just wrote down just some that came to my mind. And I put down A, B, C, D. A, the baptism in the Holy Spirit will bring a personal boldness to speak and proclaim the word of God. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, this is after Acts 2. They were already baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were already filled in the Holy Spirit, but they were gathered again to pray, and the Spirit of God came again. So you're here this morning and say, Peter, I speak in tongues. I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's more. There's more. He's the God of more. B, you would have the assurance that you are a child of God and you will overcome the fear of the enemy. And I want to tell you, and don't put up your hand to me, because we know. There are times you sit and you fear the enemy. Someone said to me the other day, I don't know whether it's demonic. I want to tell you, it's not demonic. If you're a child of God, the demons cannot touch you. No one can curse you. Get your theology, get your doctrine right. Know your Bible. You cannot be cursed. They may try, they may attempt, but it is impossible for a child of God to be cursed because we're held in the palm of Jesus Christ and nothing can touch you. But can we have the fear of the enemy? Yes, we can. And that's the battle we have to do. Get to know your Bible. Get doctrine into you. Get your theology right. Get to know I'm a child of God. I'm held by God. I'm protected by God. I'm guarded by God. And to hell with the devil. Right? Romans 5:8 says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, enhances that. I remember some people asked me, what was it like many years ago? I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was slain in the Spirit. I was lying down. And they said, was it an experience? You bet it was. And do you know what it was like? It was like getting on an operating table and God was pouring his love and pouring his love. When I got back off that ground, here's what I knew. I am loved. Whatever else was going on, that's what I knew. So the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, would increase the knowledge of love, the revelation of love that you know in your bones that the enemy cannot come near you and fear is gone. See, God will pour out his love into our hearts. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by who? By the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Again, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, the Holy Spirit who wants to immerse you in him, is the one who has poured out God's love into you. Tap into that. Allow that love to flow through you. It's already there, but it's here. Isn't this what stops us? That thing between our 2 ears, that's where the battle is. And if we can get it there, it drops into our heart through revelation, and we know I am loved, I am accepted, I am a child of God, I'm anointed of God, because what God has done for who he is, for his glory. D, 1 Thessalonians, talks about the fullness of joy in the Holy Spirit. Now again, read this scripture, because this can be a revelation to someone this morning. There's people here this morning and you're in a battle. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. You can come here and you still go outside to the battle. Sometimes the battle doesn't change. Sometimes circumstances. If you're unemployed this morning, you're going to walk out, you're still unemployed. If you're broke this morning, you're still going to walk out and you're broke. Hey, that's the reality. If you've got an enemy, and sometimes the enemy comes in the form of people. Someone with flesh on, is that right? They're the closest and worst ones. You'll still walk out in the circumstances. But listen to the scripture. It says, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. Listen to this. In spite of severe suffering, in spite of family, in spite of jobs, in spite of no money, in spite of the enemy, in spite of everything else, you welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. We have hope because our circumstances do not determine our altitude. Our attitude determines the altitude. And when we come along and we know that I'm a child of God and I am loved and the enemy cannot can overcome and I've got eternal life and God is my provider, I will walk through those circumstances. I will not be put down by those circumstances. I will not be put down by what I see with my eyeball. I will not be put down by what people say. I will rise and I will have the joy of God, and nothing can rob that joy. Nothing can take that joy. So this morning, sometimes the Christian lie is, you come to know Jesus and there's no battle. What a lie! You come to know Jesus, he can increase the battle in your life. He can increase the challenge in your life and increase the pressure in your life. But his joy rises within you that you overcome. You got the baptism, the fullness of the Spirit of God. He will bring you through. He will set you through. So don't look for an easy life, because it doesn't exist. There's a place called Cuckoo Land, and if you ever get a ticket, you can go there. But between now and then, we've got to live in the real life with the joy of God, the provision of God through our circumstances, in our circumstances, over our circumstances, and everything that the enemy might throw at us. E, it will deepen your love for fellow Christians. Acts 2:42. I did a 6 weeks teaching, but we'll give it 10, 30 seconds, right? It says, they devoted, me and you, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring unity. We'll give love for one another. We'll care for one another. Sharing of one another. Breaking bread with one another. That's what happens. It becomes about one another. And there are times, and I know this, there's some when I grow a bit dry, when I grow a bit weary, there's something called critical comes along and criticism. But I want to tell you, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we see the miraculous because we look for the miraculous. And the Spirit of God continuously, we see people's lives not as mere humans, but as children of God, of lovers of God, as fellow brothers and sisters of God who are on a fantastic journey together. This is what happens with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. F, he will reveal the glory of Jesus. John 16, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. The Spirit of God will reveal everything about Jesus. The Spirit of God will always bring us back to a place where we worship Jesus. Everything about will want to glorify Jesus. G, will help us mature in Christ. Galatians 5, 6. And again, if you're reading, you want to reach from verse 16 to 25. But verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So this is not about the law at all. But because you're not under law and you're led by the Holy Spirit, there's fruit. And verse 22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. There's no law. Isn't that amazing? That's the fruit. So this morning, you say, I am a Christian. I could say, I am an apple tree. I hope there's apples on my tree. And if there's not apples on my tree, I got to go back and say, Lord, help me to bear fruit. If I claim to be an apple tree and there's some oranges popping up, I'm probably in trouble. Lord, bring me back. Bring me to that place again where the fruit of the Spirit of God begins to live out in my life. Do an assessment on your life. How are you doing with the fruit? Are you bearing fruit? The baptism in the Holy Spirit is about gifts and fruit. Not one, both. It's always the and. If you're praying in tongues and you're gossiping, you know what you need? You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to get some fruit. You need to get some fruit in there quickly. And we have to get to that place of repentance, of self-control, and of love. And we need more of the Holy Spirit of God. And finally, it says that we have a greater desire to share the good news about Jesus. Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is open arm scripture that comes from Isaiah 61, 1-3. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. And there's a reason and there's a consequence because the Spirit of God, right? Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, a recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're living in a time of favor. And we have to keep accepting that. Even through trials and temptations and all the stuff that comes, we have to keep coming and reminding ourselves we're walking in the favor of God. The favor of God is upon me. The favor of God. This is the year of the favor of God. This is the season of the favor of God. It really is. Right now is a season of the favor of God. Worship team is going to start coming back. And I'm going to finish with, this is an illustration that I got from a guy called Stanley Horton back in 1993. So it's been around for a little while, but still it's true. It says, imagine a Rolls Royce Cadillac or some other fine car with all the external appointments, the upholstery, the cushions, paint, with perhaps a few jewels or gold added for decoration. But then suppose that instead of a motor or an engine, it has a set of pedals for the occupants to push along by their own power. People say, ridiculous. Come on, ridiculous. But so is the church in God's eyes, that has tremendous human drive, wonderful buildings and equipment, beautiful organizations and planning, but lacks the Holy Spirit. Just as the gift of the Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit is for us, so all of the gifts are for us. So why not claim them, exercise them, depend on them? They are the means God has provided so that we can advance on the foundation that is laid in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Holy Spirit, who loves to honor and reveal Jesus, will minister his power to and through us. He will not disappoint us. For all the gifts will glorify Jesus and prepare us for his return. Then they will no longer be needed. But until then, they will be. Until then, they will be. So right now, you can hear me. You're breathing. You qualify for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's really that simple. And if you're here, you know Jesus more than one day, you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Baptism is the same term as baptism water. We're filled up on the inside. But what does baptism do? It's like dropping this into a bath of water. We're being immersed. Baptisto is a word they use for about ship. When a ship was fully sunk, when it was immersed, that's pretty what you call sunk, right? Sunk into the sea, it was baptized. It was baptisto. We need to be sunk in the Spirit of God, to be immersed in the Spirit of God, almost to drown in the Spirit of God. He's within us, but now we need to get it within him. That's what it's about. And it says, his power, it is the power of the Spirit of God. And the wind and the breath comes. And I mean, the Message version was, it was a gale force wind. It wasn't a breeze. And you ever see cobwebs on the outside and there's a good Irish wind, what will it do? It will blow those cobwebs away. That's what we need. That's what I need. That's what we need as a church. We need the breath of God to come and blow away tiredness, drudgery, weariness, skepticism. We need the joy of the Lord back in our hearts, back in our lives, individually and corporately. That's what we need. And it's the only thing that's going to change us.